Father in heaven, we come again to you, Lord. Open the most precious possession we have, the side of eternity, and that's the Word of God. And ask the Holy Spirit, as you've led to the subject this morning, to give me the ability, the power needed to preach it in a way that it would bless our hearts together as we take our journey, starting at Calvary, trusting Christ as our personal Savior, and ending up in the portals of glory one day in the near future. What a joy to think of those thoughts as we walk the trail in this life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you will, take your Bible and turn, first of all, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Dr. Money took you through the plan of salvation this morning. It's going to tie right into this. On the end of this thing, I'm going to show you now, since you're saved, if you're not saved, you know how to be saved. And since you are saved, now you're on a journey headed towards heaven. And there's some things that God wants us to know while we're on that journey, that He wants us to be able to surrender to Him, as we already heard the song sung this morning. And as we do, I want to talk to you on your God-given confidence. Confidence is something that we need in this life. We have it in a lot of things other than, it seems like, the one we should have it in, that's in God, and certainly in His Son. Even we, you and I, who are children of God, sometimes our confidence is a lot less than it should be or could be if we understood what God said about who we are. Now, if you're saved, you've understood to some degree how you became a child of God. But what about now developing as a child of God? How far have we developed along till we get to the place we get to heaven one day? And by the way, you heard this past week the rest I preached. We won't arrive there, but we can arrive pressing towards the mark, as we preached last week. So, which is in Jesus Christ. One day we'll get the glorified body. When we get the glorified body, we will have arrived. Amen. And if you're not saved, you're not get the glorified body. Oh, yes, there's a resurrection for the unsaved at the great white throne judgment of God in the book of Revelation. But that's the judgment for sin, because they didn't allow Christ to pay for their sins, or they didn't trust Him, though He did pay for all men's sin. They didn't trust Him as their Savior. So here, if you look with me in 1 John chapter 2, and now I want to look down about verse 28. And here's what John says. And now, little children, abide in Him. The word abide, set forth, just dwell in Him. How do you do that? You can't dwell in this earth like you should unless you learn what you need in this earth in the physical body. If your body's not capable of doing anymore, if you be 30-year-old and have a mind of a 2 or 3-year-old, or maybe a 5 or 10-year-old, you can't do what you could do if you're 30-year-old and have a mind of a 30-year-old. And so here he's talking about us dwelling. Now, we can dwell in Him. We can occupy that position as a child of God. And he says, now, little children, abide in Him. And it means he already calls them little children. That means he had recognized they're saved, but there's a difference in being a child and abiding where they need to abide. And said, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, Jesus Christ, who he's talking about. When He shall appear, who shall appear? Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus, he's talking about when He shall appear, we may have confidence that when He shall appear, we may have confidence, that's the word, and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. In other words, to understand that, it's setting forth, there are some people may not be where they ought to be, exactly where they could have been when the Lord comes back, and they might be somewhat of a shame face because they didn't. They might be caught where they should not have been. But there is a thing that He says to us here that we know this, we have confidence, and we can have the confidence and not be ashamed when Jesus appeared. I wonder if God took an inventory of our hearts, or those on the face of the earth, says they're saved. If they would come at certain times in their life, would they be such ready, or would it be an embarrassment even as a child of God? I don't know. He says the possibility is there because that He, by, you have to occupy Him, or He abides in you and dwells in you for that. Now look, we will, in chapter 3 and verse 21. Here again, John is saying this in verse 21. He said, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. In other words, if we never do anything, or when we don't do the things that condemns us, we have confidence with God. So if there would be a person who would be out of the will of God, then they can't have the confidence that God says we could have, because He lays a principle here that this confidence is because we are in Him. And He said, we're not. If our heart condemns us not, and then He said, then have we the confidence of God. And then he talks about what shall we ask. We ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments. Now look with me again before we read that verse in chapter 5, verse 14. Here John says again, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, who Jesus Christ, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that someone said, well, if I'm going to ask God anything, I'm just asking according to His will. But do you know what the will of God is to ask for? Well, if you look at me in 1 John, you see, I'm going to lay a principle here about how you have to have context of understanding confidence for that we can have in this life. And more in context you have about the love of God, and that's what this chapter is about, main thing, and what you're studying about, the more you have the confidence that God is true, because the more God gives us in facts, the more assurance we have to disrupt anything we may not quite understand. And so he says, if we look over in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, here's what he says in that verse. And whatsoever we ask, we received of him. Why? Now what? Somebody said, but I asked, didn't get, wait a minute. He said, there's a principle here, and then it'll be filtered in God's hand. He said, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. John said, hey, there's a condition here. If you're doing what he says, do, obeying his, that's what it means, obeying his word, and find yourself doing the things that he says, doing that obedience, that's a criteria of getting what you ask from God to get at that time. And of course, you can take these verses together now, and you begin to see something really enlightened. Now, when I read verse 14 of chapter 5, and he said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything he according to his will, he heareth us. So according to his will clarifies that I just can't ask at random because of selfish pride. If I ask anything, the context here is that according to his will. Well, what is the first thing in God's presence is according to his will? Receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Why? He's not wishing that any should perish. But he'll not save or burglarize their will. So the first thing's going to happen to get in the line to get what we ask to our Heavenly Father, because he's not our Heavenly Father, and we heard that this morning, unless we know Jesus Christ as Savior. But now that we're saved, he's our Heavenly Father. Then he said, we need to ask according to his will. How do I know that? Little children, abide in him, in verse 20 I just read to you in chapter 2. Abide in him, that when he shall appear, that we may have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. Abide in him according to his will. Verse 22 again, what we ask, receive from him. Why? Because we keep his commandments. And notice he said, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. In other words, that which God has said to do, we obey the best we can with the leadership of the Holy Spirit as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So I began to see I can have a confidence that God gives. Not just my confidence. My confidence let me down sometimes. Because I don't have everything exactly like it should be. Do you? I may believe something and it may be half right. But God is always right if I line up with his word. And then I go and I find then in Hebrews chapter 10 with me. Go there with me. And let's look at a couple of verses and then get right into the message. In Hebrews chapter 10, if you look with me, in verse 35 through 39, and then the first three verses in verse 11, by faith, here's what he says. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. How would you do that? I guess when you wouldn't have it. You say, it's no good. Don't cast it away. Then he said, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if a man draw back, and my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Why? Because here the Hebrew writer, which I think was Paul, but just in case you don't, the Hebrew writer is saying, hey, if a man draws back from God, we have no pleasure in him. But watch verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back. Why? We've been born into the family of God. We may have a tendency to remove ourselves sometimes because something is happening in the life. But God will bring the chastening hand of God to us. He will bring his word to us. He will help us understand. We are not left alone. And then he goes on, he said, but of them that believe in the saving of the soul. Boy, if you really believe heartfelt like it means scripturally, you understand what he's talking about. Then he said, this is a confidence. How? Faith is such a thing's hope for, ever things not seen, chapter 11, verse 1. For verse 2, for by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now let's look at just a few minutes, the God-given confidence. The Bible, in context, gives God the confidence. That's all it is measured to do. Confidence about salvation, confidence about what we should be doing, confidence about a child of God. Confidence, what does it mean, confidence? Confidence means a firm belief, a firm trust, a reliance, assurance, assure of oneself because you have the facts and you believe the facts. When you talk about context, context means the parts of a sentence or a paragraph next to a specific word or a passage that gives you better understanding because it adds to what you actually studied in the subject. And the more you have on that subject, the more accurate you know it's true. And more you have on that subject and very little on another subject, you find you accept that because of the context. Everything goes and gives the truth of that subject, and you wait on this until you can find everything you need to find to really believe it and let it be sure of. And so we're talking about a God-given context. I want a God kind of confidence, don't you? I don't want to waste my time if I don't have exactly what God has to say. That's the reason I don't go to where else as far as the Bible, except the one I have. I mean, other things may lead me away and I don't want to go. Now, it don't mean I don't use references. It don't mean I don't use books and things like that. But the Bible is the final source. And that's where I have to start with to understand and also have the context of the subject I'm looking at. So I want a God kind of context. Why do I say that? Because it is important to know that confidence has a context to increase my confidence if God's behind it. He just don't make a statement, and all of a sudden that's it. Though in God's sight, that's all could be. But you'll find other statements that would enhance that statement if there's something that's not very clear about that in the Word of God. And so, for instance, let me give you an example. For saying something in a biblical context is different than saying something in a Playboy magazine context. No, I've never read a Playboy magazine. Don't go out saying I had, but I'm just telling you what I've seen and heard through the years. This Bible context is entirely different than something that's pornography context. Mm-hmm. Pornography context leads to sin. Mm-hmm. This Bible tells it about sin, but on the other hand, it helps us get to God. So anything in context would enhance the study of what we're studying. So if what we can find in context, that is get something to go along with the paragraph or the sentence or the word or something to enhance it, it would help us in this life. So context is very important to understand biblical truth. And that's where we come with the Hebrew writer in the book of Hebrews. The Hebrew writer in chapter 1, the writer provides a context of the superiority of Christ and the new covenant as he goes through the scriptures in the book of Hebrews. Christ, he says, is better than the angels. He's better than anything you can name. He's better than any person you know. He's better than anything that you can snort or inhale or drink or give life to. He's better. He's better. He's better. He's better than anything you've ever seen in your life. But you won't know about him unless this book tells you who he is. And then you'll begin to see what he's done. If you see what has been done, you don't know who did it. So we say, hey, we go through all channels of faith and channels of things of that. But we see here, the scriptures preserved for us to see who he is. Then we understand the things that he's made in our life. And so no one, if I think about this, Jesus is better than Moses. He's the mediator of the old covenant. Ladies and gentlemen, the sacrifice that Jesus gave on Calvary, Paul said that he paid the sin. Jesus said he paid the sin. God the Father tells us he paid the sin. So we're saying that he paid the sin once and for all in Hebrews 10:10. Now, how do I know that? You and I come to church this morning to worship God. But I noticed, I looked at the parking lot this morning. No one came to church this morning but a lamb or bull or any other animal laying on the hood of the car trying to tie to the vehicle to give a sacrifice this morning. Why? He has paid the sacrifice. Now I have to understand in context what in the Old Testament was when a high priest went into the most high place. And he talked about this in the book of Hebrews. Instead, you came to church with confidence in knowing that Christ is enough to pay for your sin debt. John chapter 8, verse 10. Jesus said, ye shall die in your sins unless ye believe that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. So we come this morning knowing that Christ had paid the price. So we didn't bring an offering by animal. We brought ourselves and then obey what he has to say and trying to live for him. And so the Hebrew writer is reestablishing the confidence in us who may have lost their confidence in their lives while on the way. It's those who are in the way, walking with Christ, knows Him as Savior, as the way, and somehow or another, time, let's study, out of the house of God, away from the way, we become less confident because we're not feeding the new man. If you're riding along and nothing in this book's in your heart after you've been saved, even after you've been saved, you'll find this world has much more to replace anything or add anything it wants to unless you had a counterfeit or have something against it, that to counteract it. And the Word of God has to do that. And I must do that too. So I have two quick points, the God-given confidence this morning. Number one, keep in mind, Satan may be able to attack and strip our confidence away at times, but he cannot take our spiritual birth away. So he strips away our confidence, which many times if it's there, we're not dwelling like we should, that God can use us. Because I'm going to tell you, he'll never leave us forsake us, but sometimes you'll wonder where he's at. And I wonder where he's at. But he never leaves forsake us. How do I know? I have confidence of God's word. He said he wouldn't. He said he wouldn't. And I give him that credit. I believe. He says he cannot lie. Titus 1:2. So I find myself believing what he has to say. Someone said that a believer without confidence is like an airplane without fuel. All that equipment that you're setting on the runway, all of that equipment setting on the runway to fly, but no power to get it off the ground. It's worthless if it won't fly. Isn't it amazing? Many times we have a lot of things going on, but is it light in what God is saying in His precious Word? God's Word provides context to anyone in crisis to give confidence in those crises. Satan is a mastermind in creating crisis, which causes us to lose our sense of context, which tries to destroy our confidence. You cannot have confidence without context adding to it, because the confidence can be looked at, destroyed, if you don't understand what's been said. And what we can understand in context needs to be activated. When I understand, as God gave me the context to see it, that I have confidence, I need to activate that confidence. I need to say, Lord, let me practice what you've showed me that I'm going to be doing and occupied as a child of God. So God grants us to know that we have confidence. We have confidence how? To go right into the most holy place, into the very presence of God, where only the high priest could enter in the Old Testament, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 21. And he tells us about having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in. Talking about the child of God. Hey, no Jew could go into the most holy place except the great high priest in the Old Testament. We have the right to come right into the very presence of God. Not because of who we are in ourselves, but who we are in Christ. I love that. You have to be seen. It's a place. If you went in the Old Testament, it's a place that when you went into the Old, you didn't go in there ceremoniously like they said do and cleanse, you would die. If they didn't do what God said do, that high priest, to go into the most holy place, have the right garments, have the right cleanness, have the right blood to do what he had to do, if he walked in there without those things that God said you had to have, he would die. And I thought about it this morning. It's amazing to me. This is what he calls a new and living way open for us. I wondered myself what might happen to us today if we had to be clean as they were clean as a condition for coming to church. You ever thought about that? And all we have to do is go to John, 1 John 1:9. Ask God to forgive us. That priest could not go in there unless he knew he... By the way, if he thought he did it right and didn't, God snapped him. Aren't you glad, ladies and gentlemen? You and I have the right to come right into the very presence of God at the right hand of God where Jesus sits. Because we're sitting there. We can come to where the most holy place is at. And Father, here's our prayer, because His Son is sitting there making intercession for us. This is why the Hebrew writer is so excited about the new covenant. In Hebrews 10, verse 19 through 20, he said, this is a new and a living way opened for us by our great high priest. Who is that? Christ, who we're talking about, is who we have confidence in. And he goes, sometimes we may not be as faithful as we should be. I got news for you. He's always faithful as he should be. And I thought about the things that happen at times in life. You know, Satan makes it very easy. Makes it very easy. And I think I talk about this confidence at times. Satan makes it very easy sometimes to use heated words against someone that we love. And someone we're around the most, it'd be a wife and family or someone else we're the most, we become so used to each other that we don't realize that sometimes words can be heated enough to hurt somebody's feelings. You know that? Did you know, and I'm going to say something, Barbara and I have been married 56 years. Did I get it right, babe? I love her as much today as I did. In fact, I love her more today than I did when we got married. Don't ask her. I don't know what she'll say, but I know. But I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, this is the thing. And yet, would you believe? I know it's hard to believe that I don't understand her. Sometimes she don't understand me. And would you believe? Oh, I'll tell you. I'm telling you what. Listen, I guarantee you we're the happiest people in here. But I'm telling you, life is not like I thought it would be. But this book will help me get through it. And that's what's so amazing about this confidence. I mean, sometimes we break and feel good when we use heated words to someone in a struggle. How can it feel so good to do something so bad with words sometimes? But it does. Is that not me, preacher? Why do we do it then? I never do it. Oh, but watch out. God says thou shalt not lie. At least I'm honest. Live in the real world. Don't be hypocritical. Just be who you are and let God help you work towards the goal he has you to go to do what God wants you to do. And it'll work for you. I thought about that. I heard where an employee went to work one day, and he and his wife had been married about 25 years, and she had, and I don't know which one was at fault, but he's had some problems, and he said, I don't know, I lost a day, and I really said some things I shouldn't have said. And the person said, but did it help? He said, no, but it sure made me feel better. But you know, sometimes it does, because of the pride in us. But on the other hand, God is telling us some things about life. Here an enemy is made. It might feel good. It might feel good sometimes because we got it off our chest, but more than likely, if that is it, then we have made an enemy somewhere or another who has friends who may become our enemy also. So you think God didn't understand when he talked about us having confidence? I was thinking, Barbara and I have had a saying lately, and we've learned months and months ago, wish I'd known it years before that, but it's a blessed saying. What is at ease? Because listen, are you married? You needle each other once in a while. You find your, it amazes me, you annoy each other once in a while. But that's a good thing about it. You can make up. I'm not getting off the wall. I know what I'm talking about. And I know in counseling people, there are some things you and I can do to each other to make it a home as close to heaven as possible in the home. The man doesn't dominate. If he does, the wife's having a hard time. The wife is not just to be the one all the time. We are a team together in that home for the glory of God. We find our position. Why? Context in the Word of God. We find our position. And we ask God to help us with that. And we're not ashamed of what he does to us. And I think about sometimes. I don't know, but I bet somebody got in the car this morning, you started church, and all of a sudden you had something to happen. You had a little friction. We didn't. We rode in different cars. No, but we had to this morning. Now, she'll be with me tonight, but she'll have to this morning. She'll be out this morning. Well, what I want you to understand is this, ladies. Listen, and Barbara will tell you this truth. We heard something not too long ago when a person said to, that like this in this office, no, but it made me feel good. And we now, you can talk to her about it. When sometimes, to me wouldn't even bother her, and to her wouldn't bother me. But we're not alike, thank God. I'm not marrying a man. And she's not going to marry a woman. We're not alike, and we're learning. Then we get to heaven, we have a glorified body, we won't have to learn no more. But I think about recently, a little something comes up, and we laugh about it. And if something would be said where they didn't understand because they didn't understand whatever it may be. We've been saying something like, it says to me, I say, Barbara, you fixing to make me feel good. And she'll say, Charles, you fixing to make me feel good. And you know what, Frost, I'm going to be honest, it's a diffusion. It's a diffusion in turn. Where there's love there. That's what God is telling us. Sometimes we may not be as faithful as we should be, but thank God he's always faithful. Number two, sometimes it's hard to have a confidence if you do not have a good conscience. No, Satan will try to do something. Keep in mind, understand this, know this. He'll try to do something that would defile your conscience, which will only destroy your confidence, and God is the only one and the only place where your conscience can be clean and cleansed, because it takes the same blood to save us to cleanse our conscience. The most holy place is where we contact God, which is which where Jesus' blood is sprinkled to purify our conscience. It's a fact that if you don't have confidence, you will not come in to where God's at. The best place to heal a troubled, conscious heart is in the house of God. Or on a prayer altar somewhere or another. Or a wife and husband by themselves around the Word of God at home. Because God's Word works, folks. Not only is it in context, he'll help us get it in context if we get it out of context. If we really want his will. We got a power, something more powerful than anything that this world's ever got. It's better than that machine. What is that machine, Alex? He's better than Alex. Alexi. Is it a woman or a man? I thought it was a man. No, it's a woman. Yeah. You know, anyhow, you know what? I'm glad I talked this stuff and you know what I'm talking about. I don't even know what I'm talking about. You do. Amen. But I'm saying it's a fact that if you do not have confidence, you will not come in. The best place to do that. Some people stop coming to church at the time they need the church the most. The context of our relationship with God is not our behavior. The context is in the blood of Jesus Christ, which will affect our behavior if we're born again. Amen. The context, ladies and gentlemen, is something in turn when Jesus' blood washed our hearts, the day we trust him. Oh, praise his name. When Jesus' blood washed our hearts, then his grace saved our soul, and then his mercy touched our life. What a wonderful place to be. His blood washed my sins away. Ladies and gentlemen, I understand also his grace saved my soul. For by grace are you saved through faith that I know yourself. It's a gift of God. And his mercy, ladies and gentlemen, helps me as he touched my life. What a wonderful place. I'm not under the old covenant where I used to bring a sacrifice to offer, which never take away my sin. I have a great high priest, and so do you if you're saved. And he is the context for my confidence, which gives me a clean conscience. 1 John 1, 8 through and 9. The Word of God, folks, is what does it all. Amen. As we hide it in our heart. And I thank the Lord for that. Confidence comes from being consistent with what God says. This includes studying the Word of God and attending our church at a regular basis. This helps the born-again child of God. Listen to me. It helps the born-again. This helps the born-again child of God not only know how to be born again, but it helps the born-again child of God first to believe God. For what? For what he has done. When I got in the family of God in the spiritual birth, it pleased God. Then I look at this, and it's a help to know and believe God for what he has done, for what he is doing, and what he's going to do before I get home. And you can say the same thing for you. If you're saved, you can think of what he has done, what he is doing, and what he's going to do for you as you walk with him. Because if you didn't begin to walk what he did for you back there, then you're not doing much where you're at now. And I wouldn't be either. So I see that he tells me these things and helps me out to understand that I may get that which is needed. This affects our behavior. So we can say, Father, sometimes I'm in a crisis, Lord. I really need your help. Now, I may start praying, trying to come to the very altar of God in heaven. Most holy place, but that's where his presence is at. Though he's in my heart. And I can go to him and I can come and say, Father, Lord Jesus, I'm in a crisis. I need your help. And he'll never say, I'm sorry, the door's locked. He'll say, son, come on in. He says that we're in, Hebrew writer, we're in heavenly places set with him. And we can enter into the most holy place. Isn't that an amazing thing, folks? You think Christ didn't do something for us? He said we can go right into the very holy place. Not physically, but spiritually in prayer. And he gives our attention when we do just that. I'm not under the old covenant where I have to bring a sacrifice to offer, which could never take away my sin. I have a great high priest, and he is the context of my confidence, which can give me a clean conscience. As I said, confidence comes from being consistent. So the writer of Hebrews is not addressing those that are walking away from their faith, but he's addressing those who began to be weakened in their faith where they're at the present. And after I've been saved for a period of time, ladies and gentlemen, it's easy to get weak. If I don't let God bring me to the point and occupy now where I'm capable of occupying rather than where I was before, I'll never be used of God like I should. Any adjustment should be that you still have a priority, what God wants you to do, and he enhances that for you. And I believe with all my heart, we see that. So the writer is not addressing those that are walking from his faith, but those who have been weak. And here, it's easy to forget and get frustrated as to who I am in Christ when I get in the gap. And how's the gap? The gap is where I was at and where he wants me to be. So after I got saved where I was at to where he wants me to be, I'm moving. And if I move along, it's stuck in the present. I'm not where I was at, but I'm not where God would have me be. Because he wants us all to progress as we learn in context what he wants to have us to do in this life. It's in the gap that most Christians struggle. The space and time when you knew the will of God and did it, but now you're discouraged and weary, wanting to quit and not to adjust the conscience. How do you put this in the right context and have a clean conscience that gives us confidence? For instance, I know God had called me to preach his word. I was doing that before I was ordained. And I know God let me pastor a church. And I understand now, after 59 years later, and I was ordained in 64, I understand now why I had a guy on my ordination committee, a pastor. I really loved the Lord. I had known him a good while. Few years. And when God, I went and I wanted him to be on my ordination. And he said, well, brother, this is what you want to do? I said, I believe God's calling me to be an evangelist. Now, I know now, but you have a lot of thoughts in mind. And he said, well, I appreciate it, brother, but he said, I can't. I said, what do you think? You think God didn't call me? You're talking about getting in the harness. You can do that. You've been there too on some things. It'd be a job something. And I said, well, I don't know. I know God's called me. I really don't know it all. He said, well, brother, and here's what he said. You'll never know as an evangelist the heart of a church, a pastor's heart in a church until you become one. Well, I didn't know then God's going to call me to be a pastor. But I understand now what he's talking about. God has shown me the heart of a pastor who pastors a church for 51 years. And so I say to you, God gets us where we're at to where we're going, but sometimes we get stalemate where we're at. Or is someone here like that this morning? God wants you to do something. You've not done it yet. God may want you to do something in this church. You've not done it yet. You're not where you're at, but you're not where God really wants you. Be honest. I'm honest. My wife and I, we're honest. Don't you? I'm telling you again. You're not looking some fake. God should mean everything to you and I. Because of who he is. And I want to thank him so much for what he's done in our lives. At this point in time, I'm not where I want to be in my Christian life. And by the way, you shouldn't be either. Because I believe God wants us to be where he wants us to be. And only he knows that as we walk this journey. But Ken, I bet you never thought you'd lead a choir, brother, or lead singing. And look what happened. Some of you men sat on the board. You never thought you'd sit on the board like our board is. But I'm telling to you, we are not where we were, but don't get stuck where we're at. to the point that we can't be what God wants us to be to the future. Because that's important in our Christian life. And that's what he gives you wisdom in context of this precious book that we have here. As a matter of fact, this is putting things in biblical context so I can get my conscience back and have confidence, to have confidence pressing toward. And that's the other night. All these see how these messages text together? But the confidence comes as we forget the past and press towards the future, which is in Christ Jesus. Press towards the mark of the high calling of God that the Bible teaches us in Philippians chapter 3. So as I look at this in quick finish, he says in Hebrews 13:7, remember something. What should you remember that I might have this? Have that God's word in context, which gives a child of God a God-given confidence. I must remember those who have a rule over you, who gave you the word of God. That's what he said do. If you look in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. He also said in verse 8, I must remember who Jesus Christ is. He said he's the same yesterday and today and yesterday forever. I also must remember not to be carried away with divers and strange doctrines in verse 9 of that chapter. I must remember to establish the heart with grace, not with anything that has no profit in them in verse 9. And this book tells me how to do that. So we can have with confidence that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me bodily. Verse 6 tells us in Hebrews chapter 13. And so I say this in closing. If you know Christ as Savior, and Dr. Muddy did a great job in presenting that to this class this morning, then you've got in at the gate. You got in the door. That's where you're at. Hopefully, you've been saved a period of time. You've been moving. But don't leave where you're from and get tied down in a gap between where that God wants us to be. Because I want you to know this, ladies and gentlemen. We can have confidence with the Lord as my helper. And I pray that God help me bridge the gap from where I was to where I want to be, which ought to be where he wants me to be, why I'm stuck in the gap between the two. If I get in that gap, show me so I can know. I don't go back. I forget the past. Press towards the high mark of the calling of God in the future, and God opens the door. Move in that direction. There's things that are coming up this year that place in this church where a lot of folks can serve God. Could it be that you're stuck and now you need to forget the past and look to the future and say, God, move me on to what you want me to be? And I'll tell you this, it'll start low. It did me. It did me years ago. We're established in him. Don't throw away your confidence just because you cannot get the biblical context right at a certain moment, because we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Sometimes when we're doing a certain struggle in life, we miss the biblical context because we think we know what we ought to do. And it's never worked for me. I have to pray, Lord, help me do what you want me to do. In the end, some things I do physical. Right now, I'm glad God gives me. People say, preacher, you look like you're in good health. And I look in the mirror and I don't know that man. It ain't me. I remember when I was years ago. If I'm in good health, how'd I have trouble getting out of bed every morning? I mean, I won't get into that. So I'm saying, no, God, I know I'm not complaining. I'm where God would have me be. I'm soon going to be going home anyhow. You say, how do you know that? Don't too many people live to be 90. And I've got 11 years. And the thing about this, but when I talk about it, I've buried people a lot younger than I am. Many of them. The pastor. So this is the same word that will get me where I want to be right here, where I need to be for the Lord. It got me where I was, into the gate, into the door, and where I am now, it brought me here, but don't get stuck. Some of you serve God, and now you're stuck somewhere or another. Something is stuck. I mean, you know, it amazes me. Don't get stuck to the place that you forget where you came from, that God can let you move forward where he'd have you to be. And so don't get stuck between where you were and where you want to and need to be. Because in God's word, and that where you want to and need to be is in the Lord's will. God's word in context will give his child a God-given confidence in their life. if you're not saved, Jesus will give you confidence of eternal life. If you are saved, the Holy Spirit will give you confidence representing Christ through this book where he wants you to be. Stand to your feet. Father, I thank you for this, Lord. I've spent a lot of time. This has blessed my heart. Maybe I need it more than anybody else. I don't know. I guarantee you I learned a lot more by studying this message than they've learned me presenting it. And dear Father, again, help someone to see their need. I talked about God's children now because Dr. Money did what he did this morning about how to be saved. To be sure you're in the family of God. The song sung today gives us confidence too as it's about our Savior. And Father, we're here anytime to open this book to anybody who'd want to know, what must I do to be saved? We never forget that. That's where we were. That's what we learned when we went through the door, Jesus Christ. Now, Father, Holy Spirit, please honor this book. And I don't have to say that because you will, but Lord, I pray this morning that you've honored it through a frail body, trying to find words to communicate. And I know this. Lord, if you'd come here tonight and spoke a louder voice, we'd been on our face before you. And so you filtered it down to use your people to speak words in their own language. You gave us the Word of God in our own language. And the Holy Spirit said, I'll live in you and I'll do my best to teach you, and we'll use your words as we inspire you to get in. And then we'll use your words that's inspired in this book to tell what to do when you get in until we get home on the other side and finally arrived to see the one who loved us so much, to see the one who lived with us and struggled through many things in this life until we got home, and finally see our Heavenly Father. God, what can I say? Help someone by your stream or by the radio to know you today and to live for you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.